for healing.
Blog Talk Radio.
You guide us through the right doctor. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Carol's got vertigo.
The medication made it worse. So she's recovering from the medication she took that was prescribed.
So the cure is worse than the illness? So, okay, Genesis chapter 29 and 30, it would have helped if I was a marriage counselor, a gynecologist, and a veterinarian to go over these two chapters. And you'll see why. Jacob is arriving in the land that his dad told him to go to. It's in Assyria. And so that's where we're at right now. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran, are we? And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And they said, and he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, they were saying, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot, until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. So the tradition there was when all the herds got together, then they would open up the well. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Now, what did the guys just tell him? The guys just told him, you got to wait for all the sheep to get here. But he's all excited. He sees Laban's sheep, and he's seeing Rachel. He's doing what he wants to do. Okay. All right. Yeah, mother. With flock of Laban and his mother's. Okay. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lift up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. So here's Jacob, very emotional guy. You know, look, he's 70, about 75 or 77 right now. That's how old he is. And, real emotional guy. He just doesn't care about what everybody else thinks, whatever that was, tradition or the law or whatever. He just rolls over the stone, walks up to the girl and kisses her. You know, I don't know him from anybody, but he introduces himself. And so, ma'am?
When Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother.
Yeah.
Mother's brother,
right.
Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother.
Yeah.
He wasn't her father's brother. He was his nephew.
Well, that's Jacob.
Okay.
you'll see some more. Okay, and so. And they brought him to his, verse 13. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said unto him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. and he abode with him the space of a month. So what it is, Laban is Jacob's mother's brother. Okay? They grew up together. Yeah, his uncle. They, Rebecca and Laban grew up together. And Rebecca left over 75 years ago and to go marry Isaac when the servant came for her. And it was a similar type of thing. Isaac prayed, and the servant prayed and said, hey, I come to find the right woman. And he was praying for the right girl, and here comes Rebecca, like, just like that. So here comes Jacob, and he's going to the well, and here comes Rachel. Just, you know, God's a good marriage counselor. And what do you call those marriage? Matchmakers, right. And God did it. God did it. Okay. Yeah, he did. Oh, boy. Even at Jacob's personality. All right. Verse 15, and Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now, what I've read on this is Leah was tender-eyed. She just wasn't pretty. Some go and say that she was blue-eyed, because in the Mideast, a dark-eyed, brown-eyed woman was more desirable than a blue-eyed girl. So that's, well, we'll just leave it like that. Okay. In verse 19, Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee. Oh, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years. And for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Okay. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went into her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah, Zilpha, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? Now here's a beguiler. being beguiled. Verse 26. And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week and gave, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. Okay. They said, well, why didn't Jacob know? Well, they didn't have, they might have had candles, I don't know, but the women would cover their face, like you see on TV, the Mideast now. They would cover their face, and it would be dark, pitch dark. You can almost touch the darkness. And so he didn't know, you know, and these girls were well covered. Now, they had something, because Jacob knew Rachel was a good-looking woman. So there was some form to their whatever. But, you know, you just got to give them the excitement of getting together as the reason that he was beguiled. Okay. So, verse 29. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. So we got 14 years going on. And I understand these girls were in their 40s. That's one commentator said. They were in their 40s. And so you got a 75-year-old husband, and he's got two wives and two maids. All right. This was not God's plan, okay? You know, Genesis chapter 3, it says, let a man leave his family and cling to his wife, singular. Okay. Verse 31, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, here you go, here's God getting involved here. He opened her womb, for Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me, what Reuben means. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left barren. So right, you know, now the word hated here doesn't mean that he couldn't stand her. It means that in reference to the Rachel, she felt like she was hated. And compared to Rachel, he treated her. Leah felt like she was being hated because of what was done in the attitude. So his four sons, and Rachel is shut up. She can't have children. And the Lord opened up the womb of Leah because he saw her, misery. Thank you. Right, misery. So let's go to the next chapter, chapter 30. Any questions?
Maybe he was reaping some of the stuff he sowed.
Yep, the way he did last week, last chapter, chapter 4, yes. Yeah, he's reaping what he sowed. He fooled old Esau. He fooled his dad and his mother, Laban's sister. I'm telling you, it runs in the family. Laban's sister, Rebecca, taught Jacob how to fool or beguile her husband. And so he went for it. He did it. And he was known for that. And so now he's seeing the beguiler of beguilers. He's getting showed up. Exactly. You reap what you sow. And so, let's see here. At chapter 30. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. Oh. See what I said about a marriage counselor? Mm-hmm. And look, we're going to get to the other thing. Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I God? Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Now, this is a sincere, this is an understanding husband. I mean, she's coming to him, I'm depressed. I'm not having children. You see, like Leah had four boys. In the old days, Hammurabi's law was in effect. Hammurabi's law was 800 years before the Mosaic law. And the Mosaic law and the Hammurabi's law were compatible. One was rewards instead of punishments. And so this was 800 years before Moses And so in Hammurabi's law, I'm getting ahead of it, but I'm going to say it since I started it. If you had a maid, Leah's maid, and Jacob went into her, then whatever child came out of that action would go to the woman, to Leah and to Jacob. Also, you saw four sons last chapter. It was in the Mideast tradition, even up into the New Testament, that they would have a big celebration when a baby was born. If it was a male, they would have food and wine, and they'd just wait around for the celebration, and they would celebrate the birth of a boy. If it was a girl, everybody packed up and went home. That was a tradition. That's what they did. And four celebrations. They were going, yeah. And Rachel's getting, she's envying her sister. And so she says, give me children. He's blaming Jacob for this. And Jacob got mad, you know, and he says, and talked to Rachel and said, look, am I in God's stead? I'm not God. Who hath withheld thee from thee the fruit of the womb? And so very understanding husband. See where the marriage counseling comes in. Very understanding husband here. So, verse 3. And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in to her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son, another boy. And Rachel said, God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. And so when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. I mean, Jacob's a busy boy here, you know? And Zilpah Leah's maid bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh. And she called his name Gad. I mean, she's on a roll. Everybody's on a roll except Rachel. And so, and then verse 12, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. So that's six boys. Seven, I think. Eight. Oh, that's right, eight. Right. Verse 14, and Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest. Okay, now this is Leah's oldest, okay? Went into the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. And Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. Mandrakes is like an apple. It was an apple, something like that. It was an aphrodisiac. They thought it would, if you took it, you make you want to have sex and you could have kids. Okay. And that's what mandrakes are. Verse 16. Well, verse 15, right? Yeah. And she said unto her, is it a small thing that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. So Rachel's saying, give me the mandrakes so I can have a kid, at least, you know, aphrodisiac. And so then she allows Leah have Jacob, right, you know, Okay, verse 16. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me. I mean, Jacob's been working all day. Coming out of the field, probably got, you know, he's tired. Wants to at least take a shower or something. Rachel took the mandrakes. She got the mandrakes for letting, approving of Jacob going into Leah again. Because Jacob didn't want to have nothing to do with him. And so, you know, this is what happens when you go against God's way of doing things. And God's overseeing all of this stuff. What's that? Right? And Jacob came out of the field in the evening. Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me. For surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes, and he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived, and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now, will my husband dwell with me? Because I have borne him six sons, and she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards, she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Six sons and a girl. And the meaning of Dinah, the word means judgment. So Leah looked at the daughter as judgment for having a girl. I mean, that's how much. I mean, she was on a roll with six kids, six boys, and now she had a girl. And they looked at it as judgment from God. Okay. Verse 22, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. So here's Rachel. She finally got it straight. Instead of going to Jacob, she goes to God, and they pray together. God, and she's praying to God, and God says, it tells us that God opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. Now, if it would have been a girl, that wouldn't have been said. What? Oh, okay. All right. But those are, well, it is. Okay. All right. Verse 25, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, now this is where it really gets good. This is where you need to be a veterinarian, the next part here. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph. Now, Joseph's going to be the next one of the lineage of Jesus Christ that's going to be highlighted in Genesis. He's next. Okay, but Joseph, and Joseph comes from Rachel. Miss Lou. Here,
can you hear me?
I can hear you.
No, I don't. Are you going to stay for the class?
Yeah.
No, I'm not concerned.
can you hear me?
No, sir.
Look, you want to sit over there? You can sit right now. I can even, not that I want to.
Okay, go.
Okay, you're going to sit right here?
Yes, I can hear you there.
Okay. Thanks for bringing us. Appreciate it. What's that? What'd you say, Ross?
I haven't studied it.
Well, good.
We're in chapter 30.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Good morning, everybody.
Got your hearing aids in?
Yep.
Okay, got them in.
Thank God.
Now, can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay? Okay. We're in Genesis chapter 30 and verse 25. And Laban, Jacob, is going to be close to 100 years old now. In the Bible. It's Genesis chapter 30.
In your Bible.
Genesis chapter 30. Laban's going to be around 99 years old, or 95, something like that. Who did I say? Laban?
Laban.
All right. Jacob is about 95 years old. It's about 20 years he's spent here, and we'll see that real quick. Verse 25, Genesis 30, verse 25. Well, yeah, one commentator said you can half that age. So he's 45, 50 years old, you know. How old are you, Arthur? See? Young man. In that time, you know. Okay, we're in chapter 30, verse 25, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto my own place and my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, I have found favor in thine eyes. Tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. So that word experience is, it's Anna. This experience is, it's superstition. Laban, they were pagans. They believed in praying to, like, other gods. Make it simple, like, they read, like today, you got the tarot card readers, you got the astrologers, and they had their little St. Christopher idols, and that's what he was consulting with and said, look, you know, you're favored with God, and it even says it here, that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. He wondered, how in the world did Jacob be able to do all of this and be protected like this? And he recognized and he acknowledged that it was the Lord Jehovah. When this L-O-R-D caps, it doesn't mean Lord God. It means the God of the Israelites, Jehovah. And so him and Jacob must have had some conversations. Verse 28, and he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, now this is what Laban said, let me know what you want, okay, for pay. Verse 29, and he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own house also? Okay. He's asking that. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock, and I will pass through all the flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle, among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So they're the inferior ones. You know, if you had a all white, all brown, all black, they're superior. Okay. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come from my hire before thy face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. Okay? And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And this is what he did. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Now, these belong to Jacob. Now, this is what he told his boys to do with those sheep and goats. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. He told his sons, you see all of these spotted and all of that ring-straked goats and lambs, sheep, you take them 3 days' journey from here. I don't want them even close to here. That's his pay. And so, like, we're going to start from scratch here. And so verse 37, and Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of hazel and chestnut tree and pilled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, and they should conceive when they came to drink. It's fertility medicine. They stripped those streaks. They stripped this stuff, and it gave off a substance. Like, you know, you pull a pine tree, and you got all that sap that comes out. Well, that's what was happening here. Whatever the substance was in that tree was coming out, and he was putting it in the water. And it says, and the flocks conceived before the rods. That word conceived means it made them get in heat. That's what it was like a Viagra of the day or something, you know. So Jacob did, okay, and flocks conceived before the rise and brought forth cattle, ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. There was something else in that. They came out ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. That means they belonged to him. Those were the ones he was going to take. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-strakes and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. So he kept them separate. This was his hire. This was for him to take. Now, let's see. Yeah, okay. I understand, well, from reading that these ring strakes that would be the face of the cow or the cattle, the sheep or the lamb or the goat, that this ring strake and the way it looked, it would shock the animal. It would shock it. And so by doing that, it would cause the coloration of the animals. Now, go with me, before we finish here, go with me to Genesis chapter 31 and verse 10. Now, this is Jacob telling how he did this and how it happened. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. Here I am. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel. That's, why is that significant? Right. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. So that's where God intervenes again. You can come up with all kind of chemicals and all kind of traditions and suspicions, and if God wants you to have those cattle, He's going to make a way for it. So it's not all of these chemicals and all this other activity going on, shaking the bushes in front of them to scare them. They say when a woman's pregnant, you know, she's not supposed to get active or have a lot of excitement or shock in her life. It could affect the baby. Well, that's what that ring scrape was supposed to do, the shaking it, those sticks in front of them. It's God, and God's taking the credit. So we can come up with all kind of plans that we're going to do this and do that and do things, but it's God that's in control of your life. He's the one, and his will for your life is what's going to overcome anything, and we can see it with Jacob. Any attempts on our behalf to get something done in God's will. It's God's will. And we need to find out what God's will is for our life and get in line with it. You know, Jesus said, this is how you pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. On earth. That's what this is. I got 220 pounds of it right here. On earth as it is in heaven. And so we need to get where we know God's will for our life, and don't be concerned about the circumstances and try and connive and all of that stuff, but be faithful to his will and what it is for your life, and he'll make it happen. And he'll even know, let you know. And he's telling right here, verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And here God's telling him, I'm doing this. This is the God that you built an altar to, a God that you vowed to. I'm fulfilling my promise to you. So let's go back to the next chapter, verse 30, the end of it. And we'll finish up. Verse 40. Verse 40 of chapter 30. All right. Any questions or comments? Any questions?
No.
Okay.
No, I had lots of thoughts when you were talking there, especially okay. The way God and he were talking together.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, you know, he was hearing all of that.
Amen. No, we're chosen like Jacob is. We're chosen. Matter of fact, we are the church. This is the church age we live in. And God has opened up salvation and the message to everybody, and he's building his church. And it says over and over again in the New Testament, we are his chosen. We are his elected. We are his predestinated. And so if you understand and really pray to God seriously and continuously, you will understand God's life for you, will for you, and you'll understand the next step. It takes faith to take that step. You got to have that. We live by faith, but faith in God's will. We look back at what God's done for us, and we understand better, but then we go forward to an area that we're not sure of, confident of what we have already been through, and that it's going to even be better than it was in the past. And Jacob's the same way. And we'll see. I've seen Abraham mature like that. When Abraham was young, he'd go down to Abimelech or whatever, down to Egypt and all of that, and he'd get out of God's will. And he gets slapped around by Abimelech, but he came out pretty good. He came out wealthier. And so he got back in God's will. Now, when it was time for Isaac to get a son, a bride, he told his servant to go. He says, I ain't going out of the city limits. I'm staying here. I've been out of the city limits before. I'm not leaving. And so he sent his servant to go find Isaac a bride. He says, Isaac ain't going either. He ain't leaving. They've been through it, and he's understanding God's will more perfectly. And so that's what we're going to see in everybody, anybody. That's a believer that's been born again, has the Spirit of God with them. They're going to grow in grace continuously. And remember, it's grace. It's mercy. It's not your beguiling or your wit or your intelligence, your education, your connections with the government or whatever. It's his grace and mercy that's going to get you the next step of faith in your life. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing it. I'm kind of putting it together in my mind. I see when people know God, there's a reaction. And I also see, too, though, when they don't really know him, that it's not there.
Right.
That they're, the way that they behave shows.
Amen. Right. Or they react, right, to something. Okay, let's see. Verse 40, I think we're at. Okay, yeah. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring strake and the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass whensoever the strong cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. Man, he's on. You know, it reminds me of watching the Kentucky Derby and the trainer after the Derby. Two or three days later, they find him for drugging the horse or something. That's what I see here. It's the same thing. Okay. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. But it wasn't because of those rods. It was God's grace. Though that angel talked to him and said, hey, watch these cattle, you know. So I don't know if that was what you call that, inspiration from God. Oh, yeah, let me use that ring strike. Let me use these rods. But Jacob knew his cattle. I mean, he'd been doing it for 20 years. It's about 20 years here. So we'll go into chapter 31 next week, and we'll find out some more about these characters. And look, you're a character, I'm a character. That's what we're finding here. These are just everyday characters that God has called out and has a chosen life for them. And he's with them. And he's done that to you all. He's called us out. He's chosen us. We live by his grace and his mercy. And so we need to find out what that grace and where that grace and mercy is or whatever. Instead of stumbling along. I'm talking about myself. I'm thinking about myself. So any questions or comments? Okay. Well, brother?
It turned out that Leah wasn't so hated after all.
Six boys.
No, not by God. And that's the one. Man might not be too fond of you. You might not be the prettiest thing and all of that stuff, but if you got favor with God, it don't matter. Amen, brother. Right. Good point. All right, Jacob, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you how you just show us plainly that you use ordinary people, that Jacob and Isaac and Abraham were just like us, sinners by nature, but we're chosen by you. And we have a predestination to be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we would walk that walk, looking for the next step of faith in our predestinated life of being like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray for the services to follow. Pray, Lord, that you'd have your free will in our hearts and lives and Brother Robbie as he preaches. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. It's so good to see you, Miss Lou. So good to see Sarah, Arthur, Kelsey. And y'all doing much better?
Last week, sitting there waiting. But it was just too late. I mean, I was sitting there waiting, you know, all the time.
Right.
Hopefully that I'm being, you know, I'm going to be able to come. But my, as soon as I got up and tried to move, my legs didn't want to move.
Oh.
That was why I wasn't up. When, all day I just sat there and I didn't hardly move that day. My legs, my knees weren't going to let me go anywhere.
Wow.
So that was.
Well, they hurt.
I didn't even know today whether or not, you know, I was going to be able to. But I found out during the week that it kept happening. And so therefore I would be able to go. Even though the hurt, what, you know, I could get through the hurt. I was, in other words, I was going to be okay. But I would just be hurting.
Yeah.
And when I can't walk right, you know, because I'm used to walking, and I just wasn't going to be able to walk. And then I'll feel like I'll be a hindrance to everybody.
No, you're not a hindrance. You're a blessing. You don't understand that. You're not a hindrance.
If it's any blessing, then it is God. That does it.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, you know, people have to cater to me. They got to.
Well, it gives us something to do. We get rewards for doing that. Don't try and cheat us out of rewards.
Hey, Miss Lou, you want to ride with me into the church?
Wait, I'm hearing from two areas. Okay.
You want to ride with me? My car is right there. You want to ride with me to church?
Okay. Yes, thank you. Appreciate it. Because I can walk with my walker.
Okay. Where are we? Right here.
See, you're doing a blessing. You're giving Charlene a blessing by letting her ride with you. You ride with her.
Oh, I tell you, God is good.
Yes,
He is. And He keeps with me. At least my mind is working good.
Okay, you're going to walk, right?
Yeah, I'm going to walk with the
Okay, all right.
I thought we were going to be in the other part of the building.
He changed his mind.
Yeah.
They keep moving.
Surprise, surprise.